97 or 98?
Oh, 99
to 100. Oh, okay. That was close. Arjunera Rate Krishna Hoy Rajudhar. Pushyar, you should have had it. Let's try this one more time, kids. Arjunera Rate Krishna Hoy Rajudhar. Vasiyache Hatte Totra Shamala Shundar. Arjunera Rate Krishna Hoy Rajudhar. Vasiyache Hatte Totra Shamala Shundar. Bola. Arjunera Rate Krishna Hoy Rajudhar. Vasi yache hatte totra shamala sunda. Arjunera Rate Krishna Hai Rajudha. Vasiyache hapta totta shamala sunda. Ladies. Arjunera Rate Krishna Hai Rajudha. Arjunera Rate Krishna Hai Rajudha. Vasiyache Hatte Tra Shamala Sunda. Very good. The Brahmin continued. Actually, I only see a picture of Lord Krishna sitting on a chariot as Arjuna's charioteer, taking the reins in his hands. He appears very beautiful and blackish. When I see the picture of Lord Krishna sitting in a chariot instructing Arjuna, I'm filled with ecstatic happiness. As long as I read Bhagavad Gita, I simply see the Lord's beautiful features. It is for this reason that I am reading Bhagavad Gita, and my mind cannot be distracted from this. That's it, or 102 too? That's it? There's a purport to 102, that's what I'm asking. All right, 102, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told the Brahmin, indeed, you are an authority in reading Bhagavad Gita. Whatever you know constitutes the real purport of Bhagavad Gita. Imagine that you're sitting there reading Bhagavad Gita, whether you can read it or not. The guy, he was illiterate, he couldn't even read. And Lord Chaitanya comes to you, says, what are you doing? That always amazed me. And he says, I'm doing what my spiritual master told me to do, even though I can't read. People make fun of me. Seva will save us. That's a fact. Purport. According to Shastra, Bhaktya Bhagavatam Gayam na Buddhya na Chatikaya. One should understand Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam by hearing from a real devotee. One cannot understand them simply by erudite scholarship or sharp intelligence. It is also said, Gita Dita Chayinapi Bhakti Bhavena Chaitasa Veda Shastra Pranani Tena Dittani Sarvashaha. To one who reads Bhagavad Gita with faith and devotion, the essence of Vedic knowledge is revealed. According to Svetashvatara Upanishad, Yasya Deve Parabhaktir Yata Deve Tata Goro Tasyaite Katita Hyarta Pakashanati Manaha. All Vedic literatures are to be understood with faith and devotion, not by mundane scholarship. We therefore present Bhagavad Gita as it is. There are many so-called scholars and philosophers who read Bhagavad Gita in a scholarly way. They simply waste their time and mislead those who read their commentaries. Namasheshtam manamapi sachi putramatra sarupam rupam tasya grajam murupurim maturim gosnavatim radhakundam giriparamaho radhikamadavashyam prapto jasya pratitikipaya sri gurum tamanatosmi ajanulam virubujo kanagavadato sankirtanay kavitaro kamalaya taksho Vishvambaro, Dvijabaro, Yuga Dharma Palo, Vande Jagat Priyakaro, Karunavataro, Namastri Kala Satyaya, Jagannatha Sutayacha, Subrityaya Saputraya, Sakalachaya Tehi Namaha. I want to say hi to Premanjali's father who's listening in Chicago. Hare Krishna Prabhu. Haribo Prabhu, so nice to see you all here this morning after that wonderful kirtan. This verse reminds me of the verse in the Bhagavatam, Maharaj Nimi meets the nine yogendras, the Yanastaya Naro Rajan Na Pramadgeta Karhichit Davan Nimilya Vanetre Naskalen Na Pater Iha. O King, one who accepts this process of devotional service to the Lord will never blunder on his path in this world, even while running with eyes closed. He will never trip and fall. You ever try running with your eyes closed? Even walking with your eyes closed is not easy. But according to Bhagavatam, one engaged in devotional service, even if he's running with his eyes closed, he will never slip and fall. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, the process of devotional service is a very happy one. And utsaha nishyadharyat, we have to be enthusiastic. Just like in the kirtan this morning, we were jumping up and down and dancing, playing instruments and singing, and everybody was happy. We were actually being spiritual, which is not easy to do when you're in the body. When you're a conditioned soul, you have to deal with your mind and your senses and so many problems. But Prabhupada says this Krishna consciousness is very happy. Why? Devotional service consists of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. One can simply hear and chant the glories of the Lord. One can attend lectures on transcendental knowledge. Simply by sitting, one can learn. And then one can eat the remnants of food offered to God. Nice, palatable prasad. In every state, devotional service is joyful. He goes on to say that some people say that the Vaishnavas are not very scholarly. And Prabhupada says, actually, there are very scholarly devotees. Very, very learned scholars who have put forth philosophy of bhakti. And this is the amazing thing, Prabhupada says, but even if the devotee doesn't take advantage of their literatures, we have experience of that, where Prabhupada left us his legacy in all these books. Prabhupada says here, even if the devotee doesn't take advantage, like many of us don't take advantage, people I know have books sitting in their house with dust on them, haven't touched them for 40 years. And then people wonder why they're not blissful or why they don't understand something or why they have questions. Prabhupada says, this is the nectar thing here, is that even if you don't, which we don't, take advantage of all the literatures left by the guru, if he is sincere in his devotional service, then he is helped within his heart by Krishna himself. So how lucky are we? We have to take up devotional service, and we have to be sincere and serious. And if we take it up seriously, even if we're so lame that we don't participate in hearing and chanting, which is the most important fundamental principle of trying to make spiritual advancement. Because the problem is we're in the material world, we're in this body, and we have all kinds of choices. It all comes down, what it really comes down to is what happens at the end. You can do so many things, but at the end of your life, if you think of Krishna, then everything's okay. So, and that sounds a lot easier than it is. But that's why Prabhupada has given us this life. He's given us the temple and the schedule. He came here, there was nothing. He was in New York, there was no temple, there was no sangha, there was no class, there was no kirtan, no deities, nothing. So he created this. It's called the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And it offers an opportunity for anyone who's sincere to come to a safe place and hear about Krishna. Can you get a verse up there for me? It's Got it here somewhere. 10:2:37. Prabhupada made this statement. I was listening last night. Prabhupada said, in our Krishna consciousness movement, all our activities are concentrated on the distribution of Krishna literature. What? Wait a minute, let me read this again. In our Krishna consciousness movement, all our activities are concentrated on distribution of Krishna literature. And then Prabhupada quotes this verse. Was I right? 10:2:37 says Kriyasa Yas Chet Chana. 10:2:37. That's the verse. Because Prabhupada quotes this verse, he quotes the line, Kriyasu yas tvach charanaravindayo. He says, Kriyasu. Kriyasu means work. And so the devotee engages in such work that reminds him of the lotus feet of Krishna. And that's how he quotes the verse. But when we look at the verse explains how to do that. And you hear devotees asking questions at the end of class sometimes. Oh, how do we do it? You know, I mean, there's a way to do it. Can we get the word for word? Because what it says is Shrinvan. See what it says? Shrinvan, constantly hearing about the Lord, right? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. Grinam, chanting, reciting the holy name of the Lord, right? What else? Remembering and contemplating. So the verse tells us how to serve. And I have personal experience of doing service when I'm not very Krishna conscious. And I also have a little experience of doing service when I'm actually paying attention and thinking of Krishna. Just like Madan said yesterday, don't get into a routine where your devotional service is just routine because you're missing it. Prabhupada set this morning program up. I think he wanted us to all attend it. And I also know that if Prabhupada walked in here and sat down today, you couldn't get in this building because so many people would be here. Now, we all know Prabhupada is here. Prabhupada's here. Krishna's here. We don't have to wait for the deity to manifest and start dancing around the temple to come and start engaging in Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. And by the Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, we can actually become spiritual. Because like I said, there's always choices in life. We made the big choice to leave Krishna. Big mistake. And now here we are. We're stuck with, you know, Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Matsara, that are powerful things that have us by the throat. And the only thing you can do is surrender. The only thing you can do. Otherwise, you just struggle and go on and on and on. It's like Madhava Prabhu was saying in his kirtan up in Boon. He always says, from the heart, sincerely, louder. And he was saying, like you mean it. Let's chant like we mean it. And that's so true. Just like when you pay obeisances, like Madhava said, you're saying the prayers. How many times we say these prayers? I mean, I say a lot of prayers, and sometimes I don't know what I'm thinking about, you know, but I'm saying the prayers. So it's actually spiritual life 101 means to take it very seriously and to try to appreciate what we're in. If you come to the temple and you say, here I am, you know, I'm a clean slate. What do I get? What am I going to get from this? And you come in and try to sponge it in. Try to absorb the smell, the taste, the things we see. Look at the altar. It's amazing. I can't believe. I mean, there's people that have never seen this. You know what I mean? We come here every day. And we tend to take things for granted. But our whole thing is that we have to take our choices and we have to try to get back to Prabhupada somehow. Because if we're not with Prabhupada, what did Prabhupada say to... I was reading the book, Swamiji. Radha Damodar gave me that book a week ago, and I just keep reading it. And Brahmananda said that after the kirtan one night, this was in 66, the devotees were talking and people were coming in and out, and there was just, you know, conversation going on. And Prabhupada said, as soon as the chanting stops, Maya comes. And Brahmananda said, Prabhupada would repeat this over and over and over. I mean, by the time I came in 73, things were all pretty. I mean, there wasn't any loose ends or any, somebody's getting up at 10 and somebody's getting up at 9. It was all, there was a program, and if you didn't follow it, it was very obvious, and people came and said, "Hey, what's the matter, Prabhu?" And luckily, because we have Sangha, we can make progress. We can make spiritual advancement, which is so hard to do. And I find when I when I'm practicing my japa, especially, it's a real test. So I'll put Prabhupada there chanting. He's walking back and forth chanting. And then I might put on some other thing in the background or something. And then I look at pictures and I just try to think, "My dear Lord, please engage me in your service." And over and over and over, and try to hear what I'm chanting. And I don't know about you, but it's one of the hardest things that I've ever had to try to do. And I've been trying to do it for a long time. But I still do it, and I'm not giving up. And I feel really blessed when I do it. This morning when I got up, I was tired. I was like, I got to chant my rounds, and I got to class. I don't want to do it. That was the first thought in my mind. And I was like, yeah, where's the broom, right? Beat the mind with a broom. And after I showered and chanted some mantras, I was chanting my japa, and I felt okay. And I find that when I practice sincerely, that I just feel like I'm actually on the path. And there's times where I may have chanted my rounds and read my shlokas and did my shastra and did my chapters, and I still am in complete ignorance, thinking about who knows what, so many other things, fill in the blank. But I remember Prabhupada came to L.A. once, and when he came, the first thing he said it was one of those arrival 10-minute things or less, you know. And the first thing he said is, "Harinama, Harinama, Harinama, Eva Kevalam." And Prabhupada said, he said, "We have no new discoveries." And then he proceeded to tell the devotees about book distribution and about how it was so important that we distribute books all over the world. And I listen to that a lot because it inspires me, because my service is book distribution. But Prabhupada says, our movement is very easy. We don't have to make up anything. We simply follow our predecessors. And we have so much access. I mean, any one of Prabhupada's books that you touch has everything there. I mean, all the acharyas and all the shastras. It's just there for us. It's like, and the devotee asked the other day about reading. Geez, how do you read? I have all the books, but I don't have time to read. Well, then you have to make a decision, and you have to say, here, I'm going to put some time for reading Prabhupada's books. And even if you start with 10 minutes, you'll be surprised what happens if you crack a book, and I don't care what book it is, any book. You crack a book, and you read a page. I was telling my son, you know, try to read a chapter a day, you know, try to read, you know, read one page. He's got the Gita, and he wants to read the Gita, and he's never read it, of course. Most people haven't. And he's reading a page a day, which is something. I mean, it's progress. And Vaish has that saying, where... That's right. Sesha knows it now. Where attention goes, energy flows. So it's like what we think about, that's what happens. It manifests. Just like Tatinu Kampan Shusha Mikshamano Bunjana Evatma Kritam. Means we did it to ourselves. We chose it. And now that you got it, everybody wants to complain. Oh, what did I do to deserve this? I don't like this. This is no fun. And everybody has the, oh, God, help me. Oh, please forgive me. What did I do? But the problem is that we've been just riding along in the modes of nature for so long that we haven't really taken seriously what we are, who we are, and where we may be going. Last night when I was, well, before I came home, I met this guy. He was selling Gitas. I ran out of little books yesterday, and all I had was, I had about 50 Gitas in the trunk. So this guy is loading his, I think it was his daughter, she was crippled, loading her into one of those electric loaders in the van. And, you know, he was kind of busy, so I was talking to his wife, and she was telling him, give him a donation. And I had handed her the Gita, and she wasn't interested in it. So he said, well, what is it? And I came around from the back of the van, and I handed him the Bhagavad Gita. And he grabs the Gita, right in the middle of this, the woman was kind of like in the middle of going up. And he just grabs the Gita, pushes the button, it stops, and he goes, I love this. I do yoga every morning. So the guy says, he's like a 70-year-old man, didn't look very spiritual. What do I know? You know, I hand him the Gita. The guy loves the Gita, gives me $10 and wants more. You know, so I give him the mantra card and I give him some little books because I had a couple of perfections of yoga in my book bag. But the thing that surprised me is that I wasn't expecting that. You know, the wife was like, she was like holding the Gita like that. You know, you hand somebody a book and they're like, they're looking around like, what do I do with this? You know, and I was like, please. You know, and you're thinking, please, Krishna, let her at least give a donation. So then I just took the book from her and gave it to the guy, you know, because she's going, hey, give him some money. Because I'm going, just give a little donation. She goes, how much is it? I don't want it. She's holding it like it was something, you know. And I said, you just give a donation. We don't sell them. And she goes, well, ask him. And she's going, give him something, you know. But when I hand him the book, he just lit up. And he was so happy to get it. And I felt like that's why I was here. It was the last guy I hit in that place. I was walking around in, like I do, in different retail establishments, just walking up and down. It was like 99 degrees. And there was the car, this guy's car sitting there running with a guy in it. And the wipers are going. It's 97 degrees. It isn't raining. And the wipers are going on the car. It's like, right? And people are walking by going, I couldn't stand him. I walked up and I looked in. There's a guy laying in there with his knees up and his head back and his mouth wide open. He's got a gold grill. And I'm like, I wanted to turn those wipers off because it sounded so, you know, it's just annoying. But I was like, I don't want to touch that window. If I knock on the window, who knows what the guy's doing? Maybe he's shooting me or something. So I just walked away and it worked. But people would walk by and they couldn't stand it. They go up and finally this guy walks up, knocks on the guy's window. Nothing. Knocks on the window. Nothing. Some other lady knocks on the window. So they figure he's dead, right? He's laying in. By now there's 17 people around the car all going, what's going on? So I'm working the crowd, you know, giving them books. Finally, the guy can't stand this big guy. Looks like a cop. He comes over. His son goes, Daddy, what's going on here? The guy comes over and just opens the door. Hey, man. And the guy, nothing. I thought he was dead. The guy grabs his shoulder and starts shaking him, and the guy falls halfway out of the car and goes, what? He's alive. And the guy goes, hey, man, you want to turn those wipers off? The guy falls back into the seat unconscious. Whatever. But this is what's going on out there. Okay? This is the kind of thing that's going on out there. And you might meet a guy and you give him the book and think, I don't want this book. I know more than this. Who needs this? This is ancient philosophy. Who needs it? But this is what they're doing. And people that, anybody, you don't have to go out and preach or do sangha, but anybody that goes out there and just takes a look, you can see what's going on. It's really, it's sad. It's so many things, but it's sad. Because these are humans. These are dvipasas. They're walking around humans. Two-legged animals. And they're so amazingly proud of what they're doing. And they're so convinced that I have nothing to offer them. You know, when you hand them the book and say, this is a book on inner peace. Many times, people just go, inner peace? You know, who needs it? But then somebody in the car or the truck will say, oh, wait a minute, I might like that. So I find myself out there, and you walk up to the whoever it is, whatever it is. It's usually mom, dad, and a kid or something. And you're wondering, what's going to happen now? And I give the kids lollipops. And then I pull out a book, and I give it to mom. And then they're like, well, what? What do we do? And I say, nothing. We just give these to people. It talks about inner peace. And they say, well, how much is it? And I say, well, we take a donation. So I gave one to this Rasta guy the other day. He was watching me work. Had big dreads, and he was old. They were like white dreads. This guy was probably 70 or so. And he had a big top hat on, like Lincoln. And he's just watching me, him and his son. So I gave the son a lollipop. He's eating a lollipop. And then after I talked to some people, I came over to him and said, here, and I gave him the Gita. And he looks at the Gita, and he goes, what is it? And I told him, this is Bhagavad Gita. It's from India. I opened to the children the pictures. I said, this is Prabhupada. His students did the paintings, and I showed him the art. I said, there's karma, there's yoga, there's reincarnation. Talks about inner peace and human life. And he goes, man, I need this. And I said, well, enjoy it and share it with your friends. And he said, you mean I get to keep it? That's what his statement was. I get to keep this? And I said, yeah, that's your Gita. Read it every day. I said, I read a chapter every day, and I like to talk to people about it. And so his son comes back over, and I give him another lollipop. And his son goes, what do you got? He says, I got this Bhagavad Gita. The guy was so happy, he had tears in his eyes. And then he gave a donation. He didn't have any money. He gave me $2 or something. But I was just so happy to meet somebody that liked it. You know what I mean? You give people books. I give people books a lot. And they go, oh, thank you very much. They throw it in the car and they drive away. And, you know, someday they'll look at it. I believe that Krishna, Prabhupada said these books are deities. And these books, they have a destiny and they know where they're going. Just like if you throw one in the garbage can and somebody picks it up and shows up at the temple. I've seen that happen. People used to say that. What about all the books that get thrown in the garbage can? Because we were distributing 800 hardbound books a day in the airport. And so when you're distributing 800 anythings a day, there's going to be some, you know, on the outside, somebody might have lost one, might have thrown it away. Somebody was a Christian, didn't like it, put it in the trash. But still, somebody will dig in that trash can and find a book. It happened to me. Somebody knocked on the door at our temple, had a book. The lady said, I found this in a trash can. So how important is this service to go out and preach? I always tell devotees when I talk to them about Sankirtan that they should put some little books in their car. Even if you just have On Chanting or Reservoir of Pleasure, just put them in your car and just give them to somebody. When you get gas, give it to somebody. When we were in Boone, before we went to Boone, we went to Hillsborough and had a program. And Vaisheshika Prabhu and Satchinandan Maharaj. Satchinandan Maharaj said something I really liked. He said, dear devotees, please don't be negative. Stay positive. And he gave the example of a letter he got from a devotee talking about all kinds. And he said, I hated reading the letter. It was all negative. So I always like to remind devotees, remain positive. If we're positive, we can make advancement. And we can share this with others. If we get negative and we get bogged down by things, it's the safest thing is to constantly hear and chant. As soon as the chanting stops, then Maya enters. Now, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. I got a couple of stories I wanted to share. Check this out. My dad gave me this. This is from 1977. It's called Airport Service Magazine. This is the Airport Service Magazine. And on the cover, I don't know who he is, but it's a devotee with tilak, neck beads. And it says, my dad gave me this one, and it says, the Hare Krishna, who are they? What do they want at the airport? Oh, we're awfully glad you asked us that, sir. Because the reason we're out there at the airport is because we want to meet you. There's so many of us that we want to meet and we want to share. There's actually a nice little article in it. It isn't even bad. There's just a few. It's a very short article, but it just cracked me up. I found this going through some boxes the other day. It's just funny. The Hare Krishna, who are they? What do they want at the airport? Yes, if you like, you can look at this, Mahatma. Airport book distributor. Anyway, what do we want at the airport? What we want to do is we want to introduce you to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada said that if we just hand somebody a book, that's it. Now, also he said that even if they don't read it, if they read one shloka, one word, their life can be turned. But even if they don't read it, if they just touch it, if they just touch the book, many people touch the book. And they're looking at it, and they're going, no, I don't want it. I don't have any money. I won't read it. And then they give it back. And I'm thinking, well, the guy touched it. He touched the book. So that's when you go out, always have these books with you. At least something to give. You know, I was just reading in that book, Ramananda's book, Prabhupada was talking about getting the books made. And he would dictaphone, and then they had the tapes. But then they had to transliterate them. And they had to do all this work, and they had a machine that had a pedal, and they didn't have a desk. You're supposed to sit at a desk on a chair and pedal that thing and work and produce books. And he said, so they didn't have a table. He said, we didn't even have a chair. So they stacked up a milk carton there, and they would sit on the floor, but it was really painful working that the foot pedal on the floor, so they had to do shifts, you know, and Hayagriva would do, and Ramananda would do, and some would do, and it was really, really difficult. And I was just thinking, I just take it for granted. I go to the book room, and I get the books, and I go out, and my job is to sell them, you know. But when I was thinking back at that, Prabhupada saying, we need to make books. And the devotees just, they didn't know how to make books. They didn't, you know, and they just surrendered, and they did it. Just like the Macmillan pastime, you know, the record order came. Prabhupada said, go deliver that record personally. Because it's Macmillan, it's a huge printing company. And Ramananda asked him, should I take the manuscript? He said, no. He had already showed the manuscript to many other printing houses, and they all said, no, we probably couldn't sell it. Thanks, but no thanks. So he said, should I bring the manuscript? Prabhupada said, no. Tell him that you have an Indian Swami who has a Bhagavad Gita to produce. So when he went and took the record in there, you probably know this story, but it's so nice, I love it. When he took the record into the guy, it was just an accountant or some guy that worked in Macmillan. And so he was sitting there thinking, now what am I going to do? He doesn't have anything to do with the publishing. But while he was in the room talking to the guy about the record, the senior publisher came into the office and he introduces him. Ramananda, this is da-da-da, he's our senior editor, whatever he was, big guy. And Ramananda just told him, just like Prabhupada said, I have an Indian Swami, I have a Bhagavad Gita that he has written. And he said, oh, we need a Bhagavad Gita. We just did a thing. We did a Quran and a Bible and something else, and they need a Gita. So that's how Krishna works. Ramananda was sent to him to do work. And then he tells the story of this guy that came. He was doing a project from college. And he was an expert typist. So they put him to work, and for a month, that's all he did. Then at the end of that, Ramananda says, Krishna sent him to do that work, and at the end, he said, I'm going back to school. And he went back to school, and they never saw him again. Anyway, these things are going on. When the pure devotee comes on a mission to actually save the entire universe, it's more than we can see or comprehend. But the mere fact that we're involved in it on any level is a miracle, and we'd be such losers if we didn't take full advantage of what Prabhupada is offering. And like I always say, it doesn't mean you have to go out and sell books every day, although that's a nice thing to do. If we're all thinking about the other 7 billion lost souls on the planet, and we have that consciousness of try to help them in any way you can. Be nice to them. Tell them Hare Krishna. Give them a mantra card. That's cheap. You can have mantra cards for nothing. Just give it. If you're afraid to talk to people, or if you don't like to talk to, or whatever, just give it to them. And say, here, sometimes I just hand people the book. I'm in a hurry. Things are, they're moving. They don't want to stop. Well, here, they were giving these out last night on campus. And there it goes. I don't know where it's going. But I just did my service. So Prabhupada says a lot of things about this, but I like this. Prabhupada said, I have always said, if we simply rely on book distribution, all our needs will be met. I have always said that. Therefore, go on with your lifetime plans, making secure in the distribution of my books. That's the real preaching, selling books. Who can speak better than the books? If he buys a book, that is successful preaching. That is the certificate of my Guru Maharaj. The success of your preaching will be substantiated by how many books are sold. And why is that? It's because when these books go out there, they don't just go to the person you give it to. They go to the family. They go to their home. Prabhupada said, what good is your 3-minute speech? But if he buys a book, it may turn his life. He will take it home. He will read. His friends will read. And something solid work is done. Something solid work is done. And I know that when you go to people's homes, when I go to relatives' homes, every single bookshelf that I've ever been near has Prabhupada's books on it, at least one or two. My mother used to collect them after I'd leave. And she'd say, here's those 5 books you left on the 5 bookshelves. But it affected her. My mother became a devotee at the end of her life. And, it's a miracle. She always liked Krishna. She liked it that her hippie son joined Prabhupada, and then he wasn't a hippie anymore. And that was a huge plus because my parents figured I'd be dead or something from drugs, you know. So when I joined Prabhupada and I said, oh, no, we do this, they were impressed. And they thought, well, that's nice. Now, they never got into reading or chanting. My dad opened one of the books and he said there was people on other planets. And he closed the book and he said, Prabhupada says there's people on other planets. Come on, you know, I can't read that. So, but my mother never read it, never chanted, but she was very, very nice. She always, and she loved Prashadam, and she went many, many times to temples. And when I did the Orlando program, I pretty much did the classes and led the kirtans, and my mother would attend. She would sit in the class, and she would go to Tulsi Puja, and she did everything. So anyway, years and years go by. She's 86 years old, and she was a friend of Manamati. And I highly recommend becoming a friend of somebody like Manamati, because you just never know what kind of blessing you're going to get. They had correspondences and gave cards and birthday gifts and stuff like that. But the last time Manamati saw her was here at the Sunday feast. And Manamati came up to her and said, Hare Krishna, Pampa. And they talked for a couple minutes, and she just out of the blue said, has Div ever given you japa beads? And my mother said, no. And Manamati said, well, he's useless. And she said, I want to give you japa beads. But we were just standing there. It was kind of like, and Premanjali was there. And Premanjali, on hearing this, runs over to the gift shop and gets a bead bag and a set of beads. Runs back to my mother, gives them to Manamati. Manamati gives her the beads and says, repeat after me. And she chants the mantra. And Manamati says, from now on, I won't know you as Bampa anymore. I will know you as, which he thinks is just Krishna Devi Dasi. And Bampa goes, Krishna Devi Dasi? She goes, I can't believe it. I'm a devotee. I'm one of you. Just like that. Right here. Anyway, so my mother was leaving to go to Colorado, and she was leaving. Manamati was going to India. So they said their goodbyes and whatever. So when I took my mom home, my mom said, what was that name? And I said, Krishna Devi Dasi. So I wrote it on a card. And she's walking around the house going, Krishna Devi Dasi, Krishna Devi Dasi. And she's got her beads around her neck, you know. Krishna Devi Dasi. She looks at me and she goes, I don't want to forget this. So Manamati's on the phone somehow. I don't know if my wife called her or what. So, yeah, my wife got her on the phone and said, you know, she's over here chanting Krishna Devi Dasi, Krishna Devi Dasi. And so Manamati wants to talk to her. So my mother, being the Irish crass person that she was, picks up the phone and says, what do you want now? Because I said, hey, Mom, your guru's on the phone. So she picks up, what do you want now? So they had a little conversation about, you know, she told her, chant some, just chant, you know. Anyway, so my mother left and went to Colorado, and 2 days later, I get a call from my brother. My mother is dying, literally. They took her to the hospital, and they checked her, and she'd had lung cancer, which she hadn't told us about. And the doctor took a look and said, she's terminal. There's nothing we can do. And they said, we give her a few months. And so my brother calls, and he's freaking out. And I talked to her, and she says, she's okay. She said, no, they're all freaking out, but I'm okay. Yeah, she's dying of lung cancer. She's okay. But she told me, she said, I have my beads. And I said, just remember Madhavati and Krishna Devi Dasi, whatever. Anyway, a few days went by, and she died on my birthday. Now, right before she died, she had went into this thing where she just sat there. She was at my brother's house. Hospice had come and set him up with oxygen and the whole thing. And she was just sitting there with her eyes closed. And he said about 23 hours went by where she was just sitting there, nothing. She was breathing, but she... So my brother calls me and puts the phone... I went on the way to the airport to try to get there before she leaves, and he puts the phone to my mom's ear, and I go, Krishna Devi Dasi. And she wakes up and opens her eyes, and my brother and the whole family, they're all... There's like 15 people there around. They freak because she opens her eyes. And that was it. She closed her eyes. And then my brother showed up, and then she just left. But anyway, so then I went out there, of course, and did everything. We chanted the mantras and gave her the Ganga water and the Radhika and the Tulsi and the Maha and Garlander and did the whole thing. And my family was standing there. They didn't know what to do because we were raised like fake Catholics. You know, I mean, if somebody said, what's your religion? You know, you write down Catholic, but, you know, we stopped going to church a long time ago and we didn't even know what it was about anyway or care. So my family's sitting there like, there's Mom, you know, what do you do? Nobody had a clue. And we don't have a family priest or anything, so I became the family priest. So I said mantras, and it was hard. Roddy was standing right there with me. And at the end of the mantras and stuff, I just chanted the Maha Mantra with my arms up, and the whole family chanted. It's amazing what happens. The devotees' lives are so auspicious. I was thinking yesterday, I took some trash and I threw it in the trash. And there was a little prasadam in there, and I saw some ant go in there. I was like, even a devotee's trash is so auspicious, you throw some trash and an ant eats it, what happens to that ant? He just ate prasadam. You know, if a devotee is kind upon you, if a devotee is nice to you, if a devotee favors you, you can get out of 86 years. Who knows how many births, but I know my mom for 86 years, and she wasn't very spiritual the whole entire time. But at the very end, she got the mercy. So if my mom can get the mercy, and a guy like me can go out and distribute Prabhupada's books, it's pretty much open to anybody. And the example, of course, is Jagai Madai. How could we do it? You know, that gives us hope that even the Lord comes to save you and you attack him, still he saves you. This is the mercy of Nitai Gaura. And if we take advantage of this mercy, well, not only we can get saved, but everybody can get saved. In fact, the whole universe is already saved anyway, because it's a special Kali Yuga where the Lord had already delivered everyone. So it's just like Prabhupada said, the battle of Kurukshetra is already done. The Prabhupada said in one lecture, he said, none of these warriors are going home. This is it. So even if you say, no, I don't want to fight, I don't want to kill my relatives, I'm going to go to the woods, doesn't matter, it's already done. And I was just listening last night, Prabhupada in 73 in L.A. said, he said, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's doing the Bhagavad Gita. He was doing the Battle of Kurukshetra. But he never told Arjuna, I got this. You just sit there and smoke ganja. And Prabhupada said, Arjuna also never said, my dear Lord, you're my friend, you're the Supreme Lord. You do this Kurukshetra, I'll just sit here and smoke ganja. 1973 LA. So we don't want to just sit here and not get in on it. Just like if there's some nectar being given out, somebody's handing out nectar, and there's a crowd of people getting nectar, don't you want to go and get some of that nectar? I mean, wouldn't you just say, what is it? Maybe inquire. So what it is the nectar is here, and we've come to it, and now after 50 years, I've noticed anyway, I don't know if anybody else notices, that it's, where is everybody? You know, I look around, I'm like, where's the Prabhus? And we're lucky we're in Alachua, we see a lot of devotees here. There's some temples you go to and you see the Lord and a pujari. And it's really, really better if we have Sangha. In association, we can remember what we're supposed to remember and try to make the right choices. It's just like a person who's in jail, but the door's open. So we're in jail, you know. I'm in the modes of nature. I can't do it. Maya's so strong. The jail, the door has been open. Now we do have to get up and walk out of there. Like Bhakti Sananda said, if you're down in a well, help me, I'm drowning. And somebody throws you a rope. The least you can do is grab hold of the rope. And if you don't grab hold of the rope, there's nothing you can do. I met this man yesterday, he jumped out of his truck and he was just so angry that I was there. I didn't even say anything to him. I'm standing there with a book in my hand, a book bag, melting in the sun. And this guy jumps out, what do you want? And I said, we're doing a charity benefit, would you like to help? And he said some expletive, you know. And I said, well, nice to meet you too, have a blessed day. And I was thinking, now if you're going to act like that, I can't help you. I just can't help you. But if you're humble and friendly and not a moron, I can help you. I can walk up to almost anybody. Prabhupada said, you can induce people to take Krishna literature. And he said that, I think if you just describe what's in the book, that anyone would be attracted. So I try to find things that people, it will help them. You know, like this book's going to help you. So I just say things like, you've heard of stress, right? Stuff like that. And people go, oh, yeah, I've heard of stress. So I say, these books talk about inner peace. This book will teach you how to find inner peace within yourself. bring out your true spiritual potential. I tell people this. And many people go, wow, that's a good idea. You know, I need that. And there's other people that just can't appreciate it. But either way, they're going to get something from me. When they meet me, they're going to get a Shaddam sucker. They're going to get the Harinam. I always tell them Nitai. I always pull out my phone and say, yeah, Nitai. Where's Nitai? When am I picking up Nitai? And people can hear the holy name of Nitai. You're out there with jivas. They might die today. They don't look like they're doing anything spiritual. And if they die and they're acting less than human, there's 8,400,000 species. And it's a long road back up. It's like, say you're an amoeba. What's your chances of getting a Bhagavad Gita if you're an amoeba? And how many births you got to go from, you know, from Indra Gop? I don't even want, you know, it's just. So we just take it for granted that we, because we're conditioned, we might have to practice. That's why we practice Sarada Bhakti. Vaidhi Bhakti means to follow rules and regulations. And Prabhupada set it up, the schedule, building, and deities, and everything for us. All we have to do is try to participate in it. And I find, just like this morning, I didn't even want to come, but I find when I got here, I was really glad I came. It was so nice to see the devotees and see Prabhupada and see the deities and then dance and chant and kirtan. It's like, what was I thinking? But the mind never gives up. The mind is turbulent, obstinate, and harder to control than the wind. Bhishmo, it says in the Bhagavatam, the mind is so powerful, it never gives in to anyone else. So all you can do is surrender to Krishna. Otherwise, you're at the mercy of kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya. And when you're in those, under those, no matter how hard you try, you're not getting out. Luckily, we have the way out. It's just that we're so rascal that we don't take it. And that's really what it comes down to. Like I said in the beginning, what's going to happen today if I get hit by a bus? Will I be thinking of Krishna, or will I be thinking of fill in the blank, anything else? So that's why we get up and we practice this, and that's why we have Prabhupada's books, and that's why we should all be reading them. He also said about the chanting of shlokas, it's not a big thing. It's a real fortunate thing, though. Prabhupada said because the devotees weren't chanting the shlokas, and he said, no, more. I want you to learn this, how to chant Sanskrit. He said, even if you don't understand a word of it, by practicing it, you will get it. Now, we also know there's examples where the devotee couldn't even learn to chant the Gayatri Mantra because he just couldn't do it. And that didn't stop him. He got the mercy. Just like the Brahmin, couldn't read, he's reading the Gita. But he's in ecstasy thinking, look at Lord Krishna. He's so beautiful. He's holding the reins. And the Lord personally comes and goes, Prabhupada said, your Bhagavad Gita reading is perfect. And so we don't have to worry. We don't have to try to. What we really, all we have to do is make a sincere effort to do what we've been taught, to take what we've been given. Prabhupada gave it to us and said, here, he spoon-fed it to us. And I highly recommend anybody who's not peaceful, not happy, and not experiencing spiritual life to just go back to the basics. Try to chant their japa. Try to read Prabhupada's books. Read one paragraph a day, and I guarantee your life will change. Oh, I wanted to tell that story in Hillsboro. After we left the program in Hillsboro, we stopped to get gas. An unstoppable Avadhoot device jumps out of the car, and he's got a garland on, and he's got a little book in his hand, and he goes up to his car, and the car sees him and just drives away. And he looks over to me, and I'm pumping the gas. We had two vehicles. I was pumping the gas, and there was a car sitting next to me with a nice Mexican family in it. And so Vaish goes, she got a Spanish book. I pop up in the trunk. I hand him the Spanish Gita. Vaish goes to the lady. The man had gone in to pay for the gas, but he gives the lady the Gita. Hola, que pasa, Hare Krishna. She's holding the Bhagavad Gita. And he's talking to her, talks about inner peace, yoga, karma, etc. And she's liking it. She's sitting there holding the book like, and he goes, you just give a donation. She goes, oh, my husband. And she could speak a little English. She said, oh, my husband's coming. So we're talking to the lady. The husband comes back out after he paid, and he's pumping the gas. So Vaish takes the Gita and hands it to the husband. The husband's holding the Gita in one hand and pumping, and he's like, he looks at it, and he's like, he starts looking around. Vaishya's talking to him about the book and telling him, and his wife's telling him in Spanish, it's really nice, it's nice, it's okay. And the guy's standing there looking around like, what did I do? What? How do I get out of this? And Vaishya's 6'5", standing there with a garland down in the dhoti. And the guy's like, what is this, right? So, and I'm standing there with my camera filming the scene. It's hilarious. You got to see it. So then the guy's like, his same thing. He's looking around trying to escape. How do I get out of this thing? You know, and Vaishya grabs the book back from him and shows him a picture. And it's in Spanish, for crying out loud. And he gives him back the book, and Vaishya goes, and the man's going, I don't have any moaning. No moaning. No moaning. No moaning. And Vaishya goes, don't worry about it. I'm giving you this as a gift. Gracias. Dios la bendiga. So the guy's holding the Gita as a gift. And the wife looks at the husband and tells him, give him something. So the man pulls out his wallet and hands Vaish $5. And we give the lady the lollipop and the man the lollipop. And Vaish takes the garland off and garlands the guy. And they just drove away with a garland, eating lollipops in a Spanish Bhagavad Gita. I was like, now that's how you do it. That is how you do it. What it was is he got out and he saw a soul that wasn't a devotee. And he couldn't stand it. He had to go and preach to that soul. And the first one he went to, they drove off like, ah, you know. Like they were scared. Who's this guy? You know, let's get out of here. The next one, they got the mercy. These things happen every single day on Sankirtan. It's never ending. Every time I take the... I was just like, I was going into Publix yesterday. And I'd already done Sankirtan for 3 hours. I changed my shirts twice. I was just dead. Drank 4 liters of water. So I go into Publix, you know, to just wash off and try to come back to life. But I always bring a book in because you're always going to meet some jiva who needs it. And this lady, I had a bunch of ones and fives at the counter. I was trading them in. And she said, where'd you get all these ones? And I said, well, I'm glad you asked me that. And I handed her the book. I said, I've been selling these books for the last 4 hours out there in the sun. And she said, how much is it? I said, they're $20. And she gave $1. And whatever, you know. And my point was that I never give up. You know, I'm thinking, look, I just distributed books for 3 hours. I did 30 Gitas yesterday because I ran out of little books. I might have done 20 little books, but I had these Gitas, so I was giving everybody Gitas. By the way, if anybody feels inspiration to donate books for book distributors, there's always need. It's not like I got a sponsor last month, so now I don't need them. I still need them because I'm the kind of guy, you give me $1,000 worth of books, I'll go distribute $1,200 worth of books. That's just the way it is. So there's always constant need. Just anybody who's listening. I have books for the next few days, but we'll see. Krishna always provides. I've never really run out yet. But if we have it in our heart that Prabhupada wanted us to do this, he wanted it really bad. He told the devotees, Bhutatma, and this is 70, might have been 71, it was 70, traveling party out of San Francisco with Keshava and Bhutatma. And I know this story because Vaish just talked to Bhutatma, he interviewed him for the book. And at one point, the devotees thought that traveling party out there in the van, they're selling books and they're out there in the van and they buy food and offer it in the van, they're eating boga. The devotees at the temple thought, and remember it's 1970, we didn't know much. We still don't know much, but we really didn't know much then. They thought that the devotees were out there eating boga and only prasadam was at the temple with the deities. So of course they brought it to Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, you know, and they told him. Prabhupada said, and this is a quote, you can eat any damn thing you like, but go out and sell books. I rest my case. And if there's any comments, I could take them now.
Thank you, Devanga Prabhu. I think today, I saw on Facebook that Rameshwar Prabhu put up that today is the 40th anniversary of the famous lecture Prabhupada gave when he arrived in L.A., where he said, is translate and distribute something that has many books and as many languages around the
throughout
world.
The world, and Krishna consciousness movement will automatically increase.
Yeah, I think the anniversary, 40th anniversary
today?
Is today. Yeah.
Woohoo! Now that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's the famous one where he said, print and distribute as many books in as many languages throughout the world, and Krishna consciousness will automatically increase. This is, it's like I said, all our activities are concentrated on the distribution of Krishna literature. That's a heavy statement. All our activities? What if that was true? What if we did that? All our activities were concentrated on distributing Krishna literature. Who knows what the impact might have been? I just want to read those things. I mean, hear that. I think, wow, the prophet said that. Anyway, it's on us. Yes, Mukunda.
I was remembering also a similar story, like with my mom. I was preaching in Africa, and I had been there already maybe, I think, 6 or 7 years. And I was going to come home for the first time, you know, from the time that I had gone. So I wrote my mother and told her, you know, I would come to Denver because she was living in Colorado then. So she said, oh, yes, you know, for sure, you know, come up to the job. I was like, well, why come to your job and everything? She said, no, come to the job and meet me, and I'll take you to lunch. You know,
and
Mom, I can't eat certain things and so forth. So actually, I went through the, you know, trouble of not wearing a dhoti, put on jeans, the whole nine yards, put a hat on, everything. So I get to her job. There's like 15 people or something standing around her office thing, and they're all waiting, and I come in. She said, oh, where's your uniform? She told these people that her son was like some major Hare Krishna devotee in Africa, and he was coming, and so they were all waiting. They had cameras. And really?
And you walk in jeans.
I had jeans and a shirt. I was thinking, you know. So moms in Krishna consciousness.
Well, you know, that's like 14 generations back and up, right? I mean, you know, this, we're not messing around. We hear these things. We take them for granted. But this is serious stuff. Everybody. It's funny because my dad one time, his people came through Orlando Airport. He was the boss of their, he was a marketing manager in Detroit. And they came through and they met me and they gave $20 each. They were very generous. And then they said, I said, where are you going? They said, we're going back to Detroit. I said, well, say hi to my dad. He worked for Ford as a joke, you know? And they said, well, we work for Ford. What's his name? And I tell them. And they go, he's the guy that signs our checks. That's what the lady told me. So they get back in the office in Dearborn, and they tell my dad, we met your son in the airport. And my dad goes, did he give you the Bhagavad Gita? And they said, he took our money. He took $20 from each one of us, which was awesome. I thought that was cool. But it's funny because we don't know, you know. I mean, we surrender to Krishna. We don't know what's going to happen, you know. That's the way when I went to Denver for the funeral thing, I was just going, you know. I wanted to get there before she died. But then when I got there, like, well, you're the man, you know. You're the priest. Do something, you know. So,
Haribo. Speaking of uniform, I whenever I go out, I mean, I'm always wearing a sari. And it's really amazing how many people just compliment what a nice dress I'm wearing. And that immediately starts up a conversation. And I always have a book in my purse or a couple books. And
it's a perfect example.
And if I'm doing it by the car, if I just get out of the car and somebody says it, I have Bhagavad Gita there. So I immediately just put the Bhagavad Gita in their hand. It's just amazing, especially in this area. There's been so many seeds planted. People are so favorable.
So many mantras been going on for so long.
And it's so nice when on the Harinam every Friday to distribute with the chanting in the background. It's people are
nice.
Sent there by Krishna. It's really wonderful. I would just
that's nice,
encourage
bro.
Anybody to join
you see,
on the party.
Put on a sari. Put some books in your purse. Next person you run into, give them a book. You never know what's going to happen. I was out. I was so tired I didn't want to drive all the way to Orlando. This is a couple weeks ago. And I'm going to Gainesville, which is, it's not my favorite place to do it because so many people have seen us and so, you know. But anyway, I was tired. I'm not driving to Orlando. So I'm standing there looking at this empty parking lot in Gainesville. thinking, what am I going to do? It was early. It was about 9:30, 8, 10 in the morning. And a devotee shows up. And he comes, gets out of his car, and he goes, oh, I'm standing there with my book bag and thinking, how am I going to do this? There's nobody here at the place. And he comes up and goes, I've always wanted to see how you do this, Prabhu. And just at that time, a man came out from the store with his cart to his Cadillac. He was probably 70. And I look at the man, I'm thinking, here we go, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. So I walk up to the guy and I give him the Bhagavad Gita, hardbound Gita. And the man looks at it and I tell him it's about inner peace, talks about karma, yoga, blah, blah, whatever I say. And the man goes, oh, very nice. How much? They never say that usually. And I go, well, $10. He gives me $10. The devotee's floored. He just can't believe it. So I said, I threw him my phone. I said, get a picture of this. So me and the man are standing there with the Gita. The man's got a lollipop and a Gita. These things are going on, and it's on us to take that step. Because you just never know what somebody's going to say when you walk up to them. Sometimes you walk up to them, and they freak out. They're scared. They lock the door, put up their windows, get on the phone, call the cops. I mean, that happens too. That's just part of it. It just comes with it. Mahatma, a book distributor. I've distributed books in the airport with her.
Hare Krishna, it's hard to top seniors, you know, stories from senior devotees, but I have two short ones. I go out on book distribution as much as I can, but I also do caregiving. So in between those two activities, in between the caregiving, I do book distribution also, like on my day off or whatever. But this particular story is about a lady that had Alzheimer's. She was no longer talking. She was no longer in this world at all. But the guy that hired me was very much favorable to vegetarianism. So I cooked for her only that. He would cook anything for him, but for me and her, we were just eating prasadam. So he was very happy about that. And every advice I gave him, he would take, like, don't turn the TV all day long. It's not good for her brain. So he would turn it off. So like that. So I had all the freedom to be a devotee. Prabhupada would play, I would play Prabhupada's tapes at night or in the morning, and she would be more peaceful. We used to have like pillow fights because she would get really agitated. But after Prabhupada's tape, she was getting better. She was not talking at all. You know, she was not anything. Actually, she was getting naked in front of people. I mean, she was completely gone. So I was chanting with her. I would take her to the park, and I would bring my japa beads or my clicker or whatever, and I was chanting. And one day, out of the blue, she turned to me and she says, but dear, you already said that so many times.
The more the better.
So she was listening, so that was amazing. Very nice. And the other short story is that I, like you, I go out. It doesn't matter if it's summer, spring, winter, whatever, the cold, the heat, the hot weather, I go in the stores. So I was in the W store.
Inside the store.
And I was walking around finding persons, and all of a sudden, I see these army guys going around and recruiting people. I said, oh my God, they doing it? They doing that? So I walk around and I follow them. And sure enough, they saw a young guy and they grab him and they say, you know, you have to join us. Here's the pamphlet, da, 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 da. So I kept following them and seeing what they were doing. They were not authorized either. So I said to them, excuse me, I see you recruiting people. And they turn around and say, yeah. I said, well, I'm recruiting too. So I gave them a Bhagavad Gita. They took the Gita very gladly, very nice voice and everything. So yeah, it'll be very nice if we all can go out and do the distribution at least an hour or two a week. That would be very nice.
Thank you, Mahatma. I really got into talking to the Latinos when I worked with her in Orlando Airport. I watched her and I went, oh my, there's a whole, because I, you know, and then I got Spanish books and I started reading. The Latinos are very sweet, $20. And I watched her work. She's really good. Another thing I wanted to tell you, I was leaving the mall in Orlando, and I was done, and I opened my trunk, you know, to put my book bag in the trunk. And this lady parked next to me, and they got out of the car. They were from Colombia. And she saw in the trunk the books. Hare Krishna. So I hand her a Spanish guitar. And she says, we lived next to the temple in Colombia, in Bogota. And she said, we'd go to the Sunday feast every Sunday. And she was so happy. And she got her husband out of the car. Give him $20. I just opened the trunk. You know what I mean? I wasn't selling. I just opened the trunk. Krishna's there. My trunk's full of books. And this lady saw it. Boom. That's really, all you really got to do is get out there. But the hardest part, Vaishali says, the hardest part is disciplining ourselves, you know, to make ourselves do it. Because there's a million reasons why not to do it. The mind will come up with it. You have something? Thank you so much, Prabhus. Hare Krishna. Sarva Vaishnava Rapaya Kari Namaskar. Ite Aparara Kichu. Nahuka Amar.